Good day, everyone. Welcome back to the 23 Podcast, wherever you are, whenever you are listening. Thank you so much for making this part of your day and week today. My name is Parker Kern, here, as most of the time, with my co-host, good friend, and our pastor, Father Jeff McBeth. Father, happy June.
Yeah.
We're into June.
Here we are.
It's the, you know, hottest. Well, I don't know if it's the hottest month of the year.
I think it's July.
July? Yeah. You never know anymore.
I guess. We'll see what happens.
You just look at the...
I'm just happy it's June.
You look at the forecast and you're just like, oh, okay. I remember a couple weeks ago it was like 80 the one day and then 50 the next and then 40 and then 70 and then 90. It's like, cool. I just can't dress for anything.
Yeah.
It's just the
sinuses go crazy. Oh, all that.
Yeah. The sinuses have been brutal this year. How's your the laser? Is it going better?
I don't know if it's working or not. Maybe I'm in the percent of people who doesn't work, or maybe you got the wrong one. I don't know. So
you got the the off brand. You got to go up to the name. You know.
Yeah. Well, I looked. I Googled it.
Yeah.
Which is the best one to get?
Oh. Okay.
So.
And you got what you thought was the best one.
Yeah.
Oh.
And maybe just not working for me. I don't know.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
Did you leave them a review or try to reach out to support?
No.
Yeah.
They don't guarantee it for everybody.
That's wild.
You know?
I would think that there would be some, like, this doesn't work, you get your money back.
Yeah.
You know? I didn't know.
Or maybe the problem isn't solvable with that.
Well, that's perhaps. Yeah, right. Maybe there's a different issue.
Right. You know, maybe it's not so cut and dry. But
pardon the pun, because sometimes your nose does get dry, too.
So. It does. Very often.
Hopefully not cut, though, because that'd be messy. Anyways, well, that's good. I pray continually for you, Father.
Hey, thank you.
As I blow my nose every day, I'm like, I hope my friend Father Jeff is not suffering today as much, but I'm sure you're suffering just as much, if not more.
Yes.
But again, as we mentioned last week,
move forward.
Jesus has got it worse.
That's right.
In every facet.
That's right. We move forward.
We move forward. So, but... yeah, beautiful stretch coming up, I think, here at not only around the parish, but just in our four seasons state here in Ohio. A lot of time to just obviously gather with others. I know you've got a couple gatherings this summer coming up with family, with fellow priests, friends. Mm-hmm. Just a beautiful time to get together, and obviously, again, as we sort of have been mentioning the last couple of weeks, just happy for the young ones in our parish that are now out of school for the summer. Even the teachers for sure too. They definitely need a break. But just would encourage everybody to enjoy, have a great summer, soak it in, because just before you know it, it's going to be cold and snowy and rainy again. And we'll go back.
You can look. You can look in the restrooms for the 23 things to do over the summer.
Ah,
kind of replaces the John
Journal.
For the summer months. Kind of mixing it up.
I like it.
So there's some kind of more faith church ideas on the list. You know, in case you're wondering.
Yeah.
How to do that. So yeah, it's kind of a fun thing.
That's a beautiful thing. Yes, for sure. There's always great activities, and I know that. Over the summer months here, we have different programs, especially for the youth groups. Is that a good term anymore?
No, but that's okay.
The ministries,
ministry.
Yeah, youth ministry.
Yeah, I think they have mission trips coming up.
We get mission trips.
Point.
A lot of stuff coming
here in June.
Yeah.
So
good stuff going on there.
Yeah, nice. That's what summer provides, nice opportunities for things like that. Of course.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
And it's a great time. You know, I went on those more than a decade ago now. And they were fun. You got to build friendships.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously there's a spiritual aspect, and I would argue right up there in terms of importance with the spiritual aspect is you're helping people, and you're assisting those who are less fortunate, you know. And again, we kind of come from a very, I would say, a rather nice area. Mm-hmm. We live in a nice area, nice town. And so to go outside of that, you know, sometimes into very different conditions than you would see in your daily drive, your daily life, it is staggering. It's humbling. It makes you, you know, thank God for what you know, the what he's given you, you know, the conditions that, you know, you live within, but also really makes you want to help others, and, you know, and those who are less fortunate or those who are struggling. So it's a powerful thing. It's a powerful thing. And again, the friendships, the bonds that you make, mm-hmm. The people you meet, not even just the people in, you know, that are with you, but other folks that you just meet along the way, really powerful thing. So, and I know we have VBS coming up, I think, next week.
Yeah, it's next week.
Wow.
Yeah.
No fun always character, fun. No psychedelic characters.
No,
this month.
I don't think so.
Okay. I was hoping for some.
Yeah. That's all right.
Sorry, they'll be flying around somewhere, someplace else.
The psychedelic characters?
Yeah, they'll probably come back for next year's trailer or something.
Maybe they'll be floating around in your vision.
Perhaps. Sometimes they do when I take some of the cough medicine.
Oh, my gosh.
That's some of my remedies. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, that's they're good little guys, good little creatures.
Yeah,
really look like a honestly like Fever Dream PBS. I don't know why I keep coming back to that.
That's hilarious.
I think I should reach out to those people and be like, obviously this had a very huge impact on me because I'm not even your target market.
Not necessarily positively.
I've just been so caught up with the little characters, like, you know, who did the animation on this? I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it kind of had like a 70s vibe.
It did.
Yeah,
in like
multiple
ways. Well, like one of those Sesame Street cutaways, uh-huh. You know? Like, ugh. Anyway, it's all good, man.
All good.
It's all good. But, yeah, so it's a beautiful, beautiful time of year. And grills are getting out.
Yeah, nice time, God willing, to take a little breath and kind of...
You bet, man.
Reset a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe do a little reading, which I'm not so good at.
Are you a reader?
No.
I'm not a reader.
I've been trying to, like, you know, I can do a little every day, especially if, you know, if the schedule's not so crammed, you know, it's like, cause if it is, it's just not going to happen. But that's why summer, you know, it's a little more, you know, less on the calendar. It can be like, okay, I can spend some of this reading,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I just need to kind of make that happen.
I agree. Yeah. Well, the thing for me is that I read a lot on my phone. I read news. I read, you know, scripture, whatever, books even on my phone. And so those that are around me sometimes are like, you know, whether it's my family or Marissa, they're like, why are you looking at your phone? I'm like, no, I'm reading, I promise. And they're like, uh-huh, yeah, okay. Yeah, we know you're on DraftKings. I'm like, no, seriously, I'm reading, I promise, you know. So it's always fun to, I think maybe just even having a book to cover my phone while I'm reading on it. So that way they're like, oh, he's actually reading something.
I mean, I never see him turn the page, but
you've been reading the same book for 8 months. What's going on? Oh, this is just my,
it's always in the middle,
just my shell. Yeah, no, but, yeah, it is a good time. I do want to, you know, my mom's in a book club and, I always just admire that.
Yeah,
just very interesting to me, the fact that you would read something and then, you know, go talk about it with other, you know, it's really accountability.
I think part of it,
and also, you know, the reading comprehension, and, you know, what people saw in it. I know probably a lot of the, for example, like the Bible study groups probably do a lot of that similar thing where
things jump out to different people.
People read, yeah, and, you know, you connect with other things, and then it helps others to go, oh, that's, I didn't see that, right? The dots connect, and it's just a good time to, you know, I guess really think about things. And
yeah, I also want to go over all my notes from the Encounter School year, you know, because it's just, there's a lot, and I'm like, as much as I was hoping to not have it be like kind of one more thing, you know, when things are boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
You know, and so I kind of want to crack open my binder and just sort of start at the beginning and just kind of slowly kind of ponder over the notes again, and, you know, for each of the classes and the quarters. And
did you type those or did you write them out?
No, so what they do, they you could type them out, I guess, but they give you like a sheet of paper that has kind of flows with the talk.
Okay.
And so whether it's the scripture passage or something, and so you're like, this is where we're at.
It's like a fill-in kind of deal.
So I kind of write, kind of fill in, you know, as we go along on the sheet, you know.
Okay.
And it's all kind of just right there.
Yeah, that's cool.
It's kind of, and that way too, you kind of know where you're going, where you've been.
That's nice.
So yeah, it's kind of a, it's a nice way of doing it, yeah. I think. So,
and you could almost read through it in a way like a book, almost like chapter one, mm-hmm. you know, session one, chapter two, whatever, continue on. Yeah. I was going to say, if you typed them out, I was going to suggest like putting them into AI or something and making like a, not a cheat sheet, but like mm-hmm. a, these are the real, you know, these are some of the bullets, you know, mm-hmm. organizing it in a way that you, you know, might be a little bit more digestible, but your way sounds even better.
Yeah.
So the big binder.
Yeah.
Well, I wish you luck with that, Father. I've been praying for you through that process, yes, and I know a lot of us have, and it's been. I hope it's been enriching. And
yeah, it is nice to have a little summer break though from it.
Oh, I'm sure
it's a lot of time.
Yeah.
You know, between the videos and the class and all that, so the Wednesday gatherings. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah. So I'm looking forward to a break there before it kicks back off.
Cool. Well, so, that's very good.
Yeah.
Excellent, Father. So this weekend, the most holy body and blood of Christ is our is our celebration, Corpus Christi,
yeah.
as it's
in Latin
sometimes called, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, so it's kind of it's an interesting little transition, you know,
yeah.
like after Pentecost, we're back in ordinary time, but you'd be hard-pressed to notice if you come just on Sunday.
Yeah, because right? you're still wearing white.
Right, exactly. So, but yeah, just continuing to unpack, you know, the mysteries, you know, of God, you know, the Holy Spirit who animates the church, you know, that God is a trinity of persons that, and then that, you know, the Eucharist is actually, you know, Christ's body and blood. So this is from John chapter 6, appropriately enough.
Right, after last week.
Bread of Life Discourse. This is at the very end. We're getting to be the end of that chapter. John 6, verses 51 to 58. Jesus said to the Jewish crowds, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world." The Jews quarreled among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I have life because of the Father, so also the one who feeds on me will have life because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Unlike your ancestors who ate and still died, whoever eats this bread will live forever." I think there's some interesting tie-ins, actually, with last week's gospel.
Right.
You know, you have some similar elements, like the one, you know, Jesus being the one sent, you know, from the Father, and that, you know, we talked in John, you know, 3:16, you know, God so loved the world, he gave his only Son. And we have here, you know, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So there's still there's sort of the idea of the giving.
Yeah. Yes.
Which is an awesome kind of tie-in. And like I said in that last week's gospel, it's a giving that brings, you know, salvation to the world, or we could say life. Here again, Jesus talks about, you know, life, you know. God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. And we see a similar vibe today. And so the nice thing about, right, the Eucharist is that's not all just theoretical, but that there's actually like a tangible,
yes,
like literal communion. That's what the sacrament, you know, it's a physical way that God uses to reach into our life, you know, as food and drink, which is just, was an amazing gift.
It is an amazing gift, and it's something, again, that's not just like a symbol, right? It's Christ truly giving of himself, not just feeding us physically in, you know, as you say, the ordinary mm-hmm. forms of bread and wine, but the spiritual feeding as well. And I know that there's a lot of people out there that are spiritually hungry, that are spiritually mm-hmm. lacking, and you talk about this a lot with people trying to fill the void mm-hmm. with things that are not God, right? Where they probably should be doing that. But that's not to say, like, me wagging my finger at people, because, you know, we're all sinners, we're all guilty, but there are times where we, I think, are feel the need to have a more nurturing relationship maybe with God, or perhaps even the people around us that are, you know, we look at them and they're having this great relationship with God and they're on fire. It's like, I'm hungry for that. Right. And maybe that's sort of what we talked about a little bit last week with sort of this revival, how the church, not only the Catholic Church, but the church, just Jesus's good word is being spread throughout the world and is coming to great fruition, and bearing wonderful fruit, feeding every person, not only physically, but spiritually as well. And so those people that are out there that are sort of, again, on the fringes or might be spiritually hungry, there's that invitation to come into communion, however that looks, just even being part of the group, the community, taking part in the Eucharist, if those have the ability to do that, or doing things like, you know, going through OCIA, something like that. I've seen a lot of people just in the past couple of years here at St. John that have gone through that process and have had that spiritual hunger fulfilled in a way, or it's, they're no longer hungry, if you will. So it's a very beautiful sort of way to look at it, I think, as well.
And the good news is, even if you don't sort of feel like on fire necessarily, if you're receiving communion, you know, you have Jesus in you, and to trust in that, you know, because he's truly present, you know, and even there's a lot of people, I think, just don't, they still struggle with that, you know, even today. And so that's why, I think that's why we have this feast, right? To remind us, like, no, it is not just a symbol. Yeah.
And I know that both of us are not like mountaintop guys. Like, I don't think, I know we've discussed this before on the show with, I don't think either of us have ever had a moment other than maybe you deciding to go to the priesthood of like, oh, this is, you know, this is a mountaintop, like life changing, life shattering moment. Would you say that?
I think my first tech retreat was probably like more like a mountaintop,
okay,
you know, kind of experience. Yeah, that was definitely transformational.
That's beautiful.
Yeah,
that's beautiful. I myself, you know, I'm sure there have been times, but none roll off the top of the dome. But that doesn't, again, like you said, Father, I want to echo that I don't feel like God loves me any less or anything. Yeah, it's like, oh, gee, I didn't pass out at the, you know, thing because I was so happy about, you know, what I was just there. Like, the fact that I was there, God was there too.
Yeah.
And the fact that I participated, God was there. The fact that I received the Eucharist, yeah, God was there. Like, God was there every little checkpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, he's still with me, right? Like, I went to the Damascus retreat, you know, several years ago, and that was a very out of body experience for me, right? And there was stuff going on, and I'm just like, okay, you know. But that was, it was, I didn't feel as if God loved me any less when I was there. Like, I just felt like, okay, this is new, this is good that I'm experiencing this. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to be experiencing this. And, you know, I didn't feel, like you said, shortchanged. And God's, again, when we receive God in the Eucharist, it doesn't matter. Again, to quote Father Rose, on the molecular level, he is within us, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so not only, again, spiritually with the Spirit and the Trinity, as we touched on last week, but also physically now, he's within us. And that's, you know, an indelible mark. Like when, you know, when we get baptized, priest, prophet, and king. It's an indelible mark. The Eucharist. We receive it. It is forever. Then, now, forever. And that's a beautiful community for all of us to be part of. Again, centered on God's love for all of us.
And I think the big question is, what's the fruit born? You know? So right, even if we're not feeling it, you know, there, the fruit can be born, you know, from having the life of Jesus, like literally inside of us, and our desire to have that. you know, I think that's maybe what part of what we should be praying about, you know, right at Mass, you know, is, yeah, God help me to have this bear fruit in my life as you want it to. And maybe that happens in ways that we're not even quite cognizant of, but yet it's still there. And we're bearing fruit when we sort of place our life in God's hands or in his presence and allow him into ours. That we just want to live his life. Kind of goes back to last week with the Trinity, that we're living that self-giving love.
And to circle it back to something we talked about at the top with reading, sometimes, you know, back in my reading prime, AKA when I had to read, I would read not pretty fast, but like it would be become effortless after a while. It's like going on a run. I'm not a runner either, but Marissa tells me, and my best friend Tyler, who also runs, they say it's a lot to get ramped up, but once you get kind of in a groove, it's almost like you set cruise control and you kind of forget you're like, I'm in motion, but I don't feel it. Like I don't feel the strain. I'm just kind of plateauing in a way. And the same thing happens for, you know, for when we're reading a book, we're kind of, once we hit kind of a flow state, we just can kind of continue and we go, oh my gosh, I read three chapters. Like, and I actually didn't skim it. I actually read it all. The same thing can be said as you mentioned just a minute ago about, you know, the things that we're not even maybe even aware of that we're doing or that God is moving, you know, through in our lives or using us to move others or move different aspects. And that's something that we shouldn't lose sight over, right? Because again, we're sort of in that almost flow state where we're just going, it's just a cruise control. And maybe again, we're just kind of, there's no up, there's no down. It's just very, very, I guess, mundane, if you will, but there's still beauty in that. And there's still great fruit that can come from that. And that's something that I think that we should really, especially this week and especially we should really recall that and not lose sight of that at all. It's very important.
Yeah. And that we're still better off for it. And then those around us are still better off for it and all that versus not.
Absolutely. Versus not. That's right. And let's pray on that.
Yeah, in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. God, we thank you for the gift of yourself in the Eucharist, and help us not only to recognize your presence more, but also to embrace that and to trust that you indeed look to live through us and through that gift of the spiritual food and drink that we receive, and that as we're going to that place where we see you face to face, that it is what we need. And this is why you gave it to us. And so we thank and praise you for that. And Jesus, ask all this in your name. Amen. Amen. In the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Father, thanks. Great show today.
Thanks, Parker. Thanks, everyone. God bless you. Great one.